Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. This football season has been different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com today to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? Welcome into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show. It's episode 2 this week of 3-4, with Thanksgiving being on Thursday. Me and Gino will take the day off, and you guys should too, from the stressful team that is the 2020 Philadelphia Eagles, right now standing at 3-6-1 after a disappointing 22-17 loss to the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland on Sunday. So today we'll get into it. Tomorrow we'll do Wentz Wednesday. And then I want you guys to turn off Twitter. Don't talk birds. Go eat a bird on Thursday. Turkey, if you prefer. Although, with Thanksgiving, I don't know. Turkey is obviously the traditional dinner that everybody has, but I'm more of a ham guy, to be honest. I love Thanksgiving, don't get me wrong, but the turkey is probably my least favorite part when we're talking about Thanksgiving foods. I mean, I'm all in on all the sides. But honestly, if we were talking about the main meat for Thanksgiving, if turkey wasn't such a staple traditionally, I'm all in on ham. That's why I maybe like Christmas dinner a little bit better, because I like ham over turkey. But regardless, go eat the bird and relax and don't talk some birds, because the Eagles at 3-6-1 right now are an absolute mess. They're a disaster, and they have the toughest stretch of any team coming up here with the remainder of the season coming up, as they have the Seattle Seahawks this week. They still have to play the New Orleans Saints this year, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals. So things are feeling like they're going to get worse before they get better. And normally this is the positivity pod, at least Gino likes to call it that. And while we normally like to see the good in things, right now it is very hard to do that with the Philadelphia Eagles. And today, what I want to get into is, because after just another disastrous game, and you know, by the way, before I get into it, you know, I'm watching the game and I'm thinking back 4 years before that game, and I'm thinking back to week one against the Cleveland Browns in 2016, and all the hype and all the excitement leading up to that game with Carson Wentz 8 days before that game being named the starter. Sam Bradford gets traded to the Minnesota Vikings. You got Doug Peterson as your new head coach coming from the Andy Reid coaching tree. You've got this brand new era of Eagles football, so exciting and refreshing after a disastrous, miserable 2015 with Chip Kelly as the head coach. And it just starts miraculously. Carson Wentz, the first drive, just shows you why you traded up to the second overall pick to get him. And all the magic we've seen up until that, you know, leading up until this point, 2017 winning the Super Bowl, the magic at the end of 2018, the magic at the end of 2019, and to see them back almost in a 2015-like form on Sunday, where that game against Cleveland really felt like a new low. And there's been a lot of new lows this year, but that game reminded me so much of 2015, where I just had no desire to watch any second of that performance. It felt like the 2015 blowout against the Miami Dolphins, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Thanksgiving game against the Detroit Lions. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, I would have never predicted, after winning the Super Bowl in 2017, after seeing the hot start that this era had in 2016 against the Cleveland Browns, and seeing them rally in 2018, going 5-1 down the stretch and being a play or two away from making the NFC title again after winning a championship the year before, and then last year dragging a carcass of a roster to the playoffs led by Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, you just thought this team had everything together. You thought it was a new norm. You thought you had the best play caller in football in Doug Peterson. You thought you had a top-tier quarterback in Carson Wentz. You thought you had a GM in Howie Roseman that is so open-minded and just always ahead of the curve, right? He's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. And to see how far those three in this entire organization has fallen in 2020 is shocking, is surprising, and is just disappointing. I never thought I would have a 2015-like Eagles feeling this soon, considering the success of this era, the last 3 years. And again, the exciting start it had in 2016. The fact that I felt that way again, that sucked. I did not expect it, and I didn't think I was going to have to feel that way for a long time, because it seemed like this era, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, this core of Eagles football had it all together. But we're realizing right now that maybe they don't. And I don't want to say, because, you know, I think the majority of the sample size has been good. Three straight playoff runs, a championship, nearly another one in 2018. Again, I take more seriously what they did last year down the stretch than other people. So I don't want to say it's completely over for Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, that none of them can get back to their elite form that we've seen in glimpses here and there since 2017. And we saw it full on in 2017. But right now, it looks like it's broken. And how you fix it is the big question. Is it firing Howie Roseman? Is it firing Doug Peterson? Is it firing, basically, in the form of benching or trading in the offseason or whatever, Carson Wentz? I don't know what it is, but I keep trying to wait and see the old Howie Roseman, the old Doug Peterson, the old Carson Wentz, the old Philadelphia Eagles that we're used to with this core. I'm waiting to see that them snap out of it like they have the past couple years. And week after week after week, they are proving to me, or they are showing me, because I've defended them and I've been holding out hope that they would surprise me again. And not even really surprise me, I expected it after seeing what they did in 2018 and 2019. I was waiting for it, but after each game, it doesn't look like it's happening. And as I said a couple weeks ago, if it wasn't going to happen against the Giants or the Cowboys or the Cleveland Browns, even at 7-3 now after that win, I don't take the Browns seriously. If they're not going to do it against those teams, why would they do it against Seattle? Why would they do it against Arizona or Green Bay or New Orleans? Why should we expect that now? You know, you should have expected it considering what you saw the last 2 years. You should have expected a turnaround. But now I don't think you should. For the first time with this core, my confidence is just in the gutter. Whatever analogy you want to say, I have no confidence that they're going to get it right for the first time. And that is a terrible feeling. And so how do you get back to believing in this team? I don't know. But one thing's for certain, I'm taking issues with the blame game. And the percentage of blame that's going on Doug Peterson compared to Wentz and Roseman. And that's what I want to get into today, because Doug Peterson certainly deserves a ton of criticism for the hole the Eagles are in right now and for the inconsistencies this team has seen over the last three seasons. But if you were on Eagles Twitter right now, and honestly even on this podcast sometimes, I think the criticism is way too focused on Doug Peterson and not enough on Howie Roseman and Carson Wentz. And obviously we're going to get more into Wentz tomorrow on Wentz Wednesday, but I'm going to defend Doug Peterson a little bit today. You know, he's not going to get off scot-free. I'm going to get into his issues as well, because as much as with take culture now and hot takes, you got to pick a side, right? With debates being the format for seemingly all of sports analysis now, you've kind of got to pick a side, and you've got to say it's all on Doug, or no, it's all on Wentz, or no, it's all on Howie. The fact of the matter is that this is a group effort. This chaos, this mess that is the Philadelphia Eagles, it is a team effort. It's on Howie, it's on Doug, it's on Carson, it's on Jim Schwartz, it's on the personnel on both sides of the ball. It's on everybody. It is. It's on injuries. And so while that is the case, at the same time, I think the blame is pointed way too much at Doug Peterson, and the focus needs to be shifted a little bit more to the other important pieces of this franchise. And so that's what I'm going to get into coming up today on the Locked On Eagles podcast, which is sponsored by Axon Taser. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and they're lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. Protecting my family is my number one priority, but I want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. They're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you, and even pepper spray can harm you as much as an attacker, and it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting and emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. More than 237 lives have been saved with the Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. Protect yourself and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. It's available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get the Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with the promo code NFL, and you'll save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast. Louis DiBiase here, defending Doug a little bit. Again, like I said at the end of segment one, this is a full team effort. The hole the Eagles are in at 3-6-1, the inconsistent play on the field. It's been a mess for 3 years now. It's been such a roller coaster for 3 years. And so while it's not just on Carson Wentz or Howie Roseman, and those are the guys I'm going to focus on more today, it's also not just on Doug Peterson. It's on Jim Schwartz. It's on injuries. It's on this roster just not being very talented. There is so many factors. And again, debate culture, hot take culture, they want you to pick a side. They want you to say who's more to blame, because you know, that sparks conversation. And while I get it for content, at the same time, that's not, you know, there's a middle in everything. And so it's not as cut and dry. It's not as black and white as, no, it's just on Doug. It's just on Carson. It's just on Howie. But one thing I'll say is the blame is going way too much on Peterson compared to Roseman and Wentz. I think Carson Wentz, I don't want to say Carson Wentz is getting off scot-free here. I don't want to say that they're going easy on Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz has been severely and unfairly criticized throughout the majority of his career in Philadelphia. And even this year, while it's justified, he is still, you know, for the most part, he's taken on the majority of criticism. But this week, and last week too, I've seen it more on Doug Peterson. And that's really tough for me to accept, where I don't know. Look, I think I do agree. If the Eagles were going to make a drastic move this offseason and fire one of these top three, when we're talking about Roseman, Wentz, or Peterson, I think it would be Doug. I mean, you already saw Jeffrey Lurie and Roseman kind of make Doug fire his offensive coordinator and Mike Groh this offseason, and Carson Walsh, his wide receiver coach. So I do think Doug would be the one to go. But at the same time, I think it's unfair that the guy that's been the biggest reason for your success over the last 3 years is the one right now that would probably be on the hot seat the most. I mean, Doug Peterson, he won you a championship with Nick Foles. He, in 2018, when Carson Wentz went down, got this offense hot again with Nick Foles and nearly got them back to an NFC championship. Last year, I mean, with all the injuries and everything that's gone on with this team, all the distractions both on and off the field, for him to hold this team together, I just think that Eagles fans are too quickly wanting to throw Doug to the curb again. And I don't want Doug Peterson to have an Andy Reid-like resurgence somewhere else, like Reid did in Kansas City, where Doug Peterson goes somewhere else now and the Eagles cut ties too quickly. He figures it out. He finds stability personnel-wise with a good front office and a good quarterback, and again, he becomes an elite play caller. That's not to say that Doug Peterson hasn't been awful this year with, I mean, the management of the roster, playing guys like Alshon Jeffrey and Jason Peters over Jordan Mailata and Travis Fulgham, and the questionable play calling on third down this year and in the red zone, and, you know, in-game management when it comes to deciding when to go for two and when to kick field goals and when to punt for ties. There's been a lot of head-scratching decisions, play calls, moves by Doug Peterson this year, 100%. He's not helping this team like he used to. He's not elevating this team like he used to. And let's not forget, too, the reports this week about sloppy practices. I mean, the team is not being held accountable. That is all fair criticism of Doug Peterson that should put his job in question. Like, that is a fact. That is true. But again, I just think it's unfair that people want to fire him so quickly. And to me, again, he is not free from blame. But it's hard to see, it's hard not to see Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman kind of force Doug's hand this offseason and not maybe point to Howie Roseman as maybe he's the guy that's forcing Doug Peterson to play Alshon Jeffrey over Travis Fulgham at times, or playing Jason Peters over, you know, Jordan Mailata to justify Howie's moves of giving JP more money, or, you know, guaranteeing Alshon Jeffrey's salary in 2020, or, you know, the fact that Jalen Hurts is playing in these gimmicky gadget packages, maybe to justify Howie Roseman's 53rd overall selection of Jalen Hurts. It's hard not to see that, and it's hard also not to see this organization's investment in Carson Wentz and know that Doug can't change that position. He probably can't bench Wentz for Jalen Hurts. If Doug Peterson wants to keep his job, he's got to fix number 11. Because Carson Wentz, as maybe as unfair as it is to Doug, Carson Wentz is more safe than Doug Peterson. Carson Wentz is going to be the Eagles quarterback in 2021. And so if Doug Peterson wants to keep his job, he's got to make it work with Carson. And it's hard, though, to see sometimes how things are maybe out of his control, especially on the defense. That's all on Jim Schwartz. I mean, Jim Schwartz is the head coach of the defense. And you see the injuries, too, and it's hard not to be like, damn, I mean, Doug is dealing with a ton, and so is Carson Wentz, and so is this entire team. But again, it's just like, especially the last 2 weeks, it's hard to just keep shifting the focus on Doug, especially when you look at the game plan the last 2 weeks, and there's like five sets of training wheels on Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz still can't execute. And he's still turning over the football at an alarming rate. Two more interceptions. He has six games this year where he's thrown multiple interceptions. And so, I mean, the last 2 weeks, yeah, the majority of the season, Doug Peterson's a huge reason that Carson Wentz is struggling. But the last 2 weeks, it's been training wheels. They're treating Carson Wentz like a rookie that's totally seeing ghosts, like Sam Darnold said last year to Adam Gase. And so it's hard to blame Doug when Carson Wentz can't even execute a vanilla game plan. And Carson Wentz, by the way, has a ton of say in the play calling and in the game plan week after week. He has a ton of say in that. So for Wentz to always shift the focus on Doug is not fair. And Howie Roseman, too, man. I'm going to get into him coming up next on the podcast, because Howie Roseman has not made it easy on Doug either. And I'm going to get into that coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. And guys, today's podcast is sponsored by our good friends over at Built Go, which comes over from the same great people that make the best tasting protein bar out there, which is Built Bar. Built Go is the solution to breaking through your wall, whether that's a mental wall or a physical wall. Break through it with Built Go. And for me, I work the overnights at the radio stations in Buffalo. So I work 10:30 p.m. to 5 o'clock in the morning. So that's a mental grind and it's a physical grind. Especially right now, it gets dark at like, you know, 5 o'clock and I wake up at 2. So Built Go has been like a go-to product for me lately. It's basically 5-hour energy without that same crash feeling. Plus it's natural, so it's actually good for the body. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint for you to try. Go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. That's L-O-C-K-E-D, and you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go, let's go. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles. Louis DiBiase here defending Doug a little bit. You know, Doug Peterson has been a huge problem with the Eagles this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if next year they kind of give him an ultimatum. They say, you want to keep this head coaching job? You're going to bring in a new, fresh offensive coordinator and offensive mind, and he's going to call the shots. He's going to call the plays, and, you know, we love your emotional intelligence. We love how you can hold this locker room together and get them to fight when all feels like it's lost. But at the same time, we're going to make you kind of give up control of your offense. And so while that could be the case, and while maybe that is justified, I don't think what is justified is just assuming Doug Peterson's going to get fired this year and so quickly wanting to toss aside a Super Bowl head coach. And again, look, I think a lot of the moves with Doug this year have been awful. But, and it's not to say that Carson Wentz isn't taking harsh criticism right now. He is, and he always has. I'm more frustrated about Howie Roseman, you know, kind of getting to dodge the media all the time and kind of dodging criticism. This roster stinks. You know, even with injuries removed from the equation, which is a huge part, obviously, Doug hasn't had his offensive line. His receivers are always interchanging. You know, there's a lot to deal with in the injury aspect of this conversation. But Travis Fulgham isn't what we maybe thought he was. And Jalen Reagor's a rookie, and he's coming along, but, you know, he's not a star receiver yet. He's not a true number one wide receiver. Alshon Jeffrey is a skeleton of what he used to be. DeSean Jackson's hurt. So the receivers aren't good. I mean, Greg Ward's a basic slot receiver. You know, your tight ends are down. Your running back, that part I get with Doug Peterson. He just is unwilling to commit to Miles Sanders and just run the offense through Miles. But the team just isn't very good on defense. Howie Roseman and Jim Schwartz completely ignored the linebacker position. They completely ignored the second cornerback spot in the second round. Instead of taking Christian Fulton, they took a backup cornerback. They cut Rasul Douglas, who's thriving in Carolina. They cut Sidney Jones, who's actually making plays in Jacksonville. He's the last Eagles corner to have an interception. They let Malcolm Jenkins walk. They're not playing Will Parks. They threw a ton of money at Javon Hargrave instead of paying a guy like Robbie Anderson. Or, you know, they pay Javon Hargrave and they draft Jalen Hurts in the second round instead of using that second round pick and that money on DeAndre Hopkins or Stephon Diggs. So it's hard to see all of these moves over and over again for the past couple years and all of these terrible draft picks. I'm seeing Justin Jefferson become a star in the league and DK Metcalf and Terry McLaurin and Jeremy Chinn. And I'm seeing who Howie Roseman took instead of those guys. And while at the time I might have agreed with those decisions, none of them are panning out. And so you can't just let Howie Roseman off the hook. You can't just let a guy that keeps allowing stars to not come to Philadelphia because of your decisions to go in another direction and just let him off the hook. But I feel like Jeffrey Lurie is going to let him off the hook. Honestly, I think Howie Roseman, as unjust as it is, he's the safest of the three. I feel like Howie Roseman is safer than Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, and he really shouldn't be. Howie Roseman especially. You know, Wentz too, I'm frustrated with the deflection of his criticism with certain people, certainly not the majority of analysts or fans, but there's a lot of people out there that when we quickly talk about Carson Wentz, they shift the focus to Doug Peterson. And that's not fair, but also I'm trying to shift the focus too on Howie Roseman because this team is not talented. The free agent moves have not worked. The draft picks have not worked. They have held back on trades for stars. There have been a lot of star players that Philadelphia could have acquired in the last couple years, and they decided not to. And, you know, eventually those moves, even if I agreed with them at the time, eventually they have to work. And they just, for Howie, since the Super Bowl, they haven't worked. And you're in cap hell next year, so it's not getting any better. So you're going to have to run this team through the draft. And Howie Roseman has proven that he is not a good drafter. Howie has proven that he can manage a salary cap 100%, that he's open-minded and he's willing to learn from his mistakes and change up his philosophy, and I like that. And, you know, he's very aggressive in certain ways, and he's kind of started the trade era of the NFL. And so he's great at finding waiver wire guys like Travis Fulgham and Craven LeBlanc and undrafted players and late round draft selections. There's a lot to like about Howie Roseman as a GM, but at the same time, man, he's let too many players, too many stars get away, and there's been too many bust signings and draft picks to just always go after Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. And yet, if you look on Twitter, if you listen to podcasts or sports radio, or you watch, you know, the national media on TV, it's all about the head coach and the quarterback. And it's fair because those are the two most important pieces of any NFL franchise. But Howie Roseman has a lot of blame in this mess that is the Philadelphia Eagles. And so to me, it's just Doug Peterson's the guy that probably is on his way out if there's a big move to come. And I don't agree with that. To me, if I had to rank it, I'd go you fire Howie Roseman first. And then, you know, obviously I'm trying to fix Carson Wentz because I still think he has elite talents and traits as an NFL quarterback. So I'd put Wentz number two, or I would say Doug number two for who should be fired and Wentz number three. But you can make the argument that Doug Peterson over Wentz over Howie, and you'd be right, is the person that deserves the most credit for the Eagles' success over the last 3 years. And I said it last week, I totally agree that Doug has not been good enough, that Carson Wentz has not been good enough, that Howie Roseman's not been good enough. But at the same time, I struggle to just easily say, yeah, fire one of them, trade or bench Wentz, when you've seen elite characteristics of all three and you've seen elite success. And while it's only been in glimpses since 2017, it's hard for me to, and probably for Jeffrey Lurie too, to not hold out hope still. Even right now when it feels like there is no hope to be felt, it's still hard to not see what we've seen the last 3 years and not want to hold on to that for dear life. But I just thought I'd come on today, the podcast, and defend Doug because Doug Peterson's taking the biggest beating of anybody the last 2 weeks. And while it's justified for the majority of this season, he has made the offense very simplistic the last 2 weeks. I think at one point in that game on Sunday against Cleveland, the run to pass ratio was 14-6 in favor of the run. And Carson Wentz, he looked like Jared Goff out there with the training wheels, and he still couldn't execute. And so right now, if we're going to talk about right now who we're going after, it should be Howie Roseman and Carson Wentz. And, you know, you can go after Doug Peterson too, but it's been way too much on Doug and not enough on Howie and Carson. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I'll be back tomorrow for Wentz Wednesday, and we'll dive deeper into the mess that is the Eagles' former elite franchise quarterback. What happened to Carson Wentz? We'll get into it tomorrow on the podcast. So be sure to subscribe on any podcast platform, and I'll see you guys tomorrow. Until then, hit me up on Twitter at DiBiase, L-O-E. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Have a good night, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow.